Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. I want to thank this congregation and your pastor for giving me this gracious invitation to come and minister the gospel to you. And it's my prayer and sincere desire that the Lord will enable me to do that very thing. Let's read here in Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When them that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told him by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about sought him to depart from them, but they were taken with great fear. He went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he would be with him. He wanted to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Luke chapter 8 and Mark chapter 5, if you're taking notes tonight, tell the story of the demoniac of Gadara. It tells us where the Lord found him, living among the dead. He always does. He always does. It tells us what was around him. Swine. There always is. It tells us about his condition. He was a madman, a man whose thoughts and actions were dictated by devils. It tells us something about his activities. He ran in amongst the tombs and up on the mountains and cried and cut himself with stones. It tells us how men treated him. They tried to bind him. Tried to bind him with fetters and tried to bind him with chains. And it tells us about his appearance. He was naked. Now there's two reasons I believe that these miracles of Christ are recorded in the scriptures. I believe there's two reasons. There could be many, but two that I know of. First of all, they're there to confirm his person, his offices, and his message, his work, who he was. This is the Son of God. This is the Christ. And then secondly, these miracles are given to show how God saves sinners. How God saves sinners. The disciples asked the Lord over in John chapter 9 when he healed this blind man. They said, "Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" That sounds like something I'd ask. And Jesus said, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." This man was born blind, Mary, for the sole purpose of manifesting the glory of God to us who are gathered here tonight. You think about that. Tells us in a picture. I tell you, close your eyes and look at these pictures that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us in the scriptures, and it'll preach to you clearer than a pastor could get up and preach for 6 months. Just a simple picture that the Lord gives you. If we can get a hold of the picture, the message will come with you. No one miracle can tell the story of the sinner. Not this madman, not the blind man, not the man who's halt, not the man with the withered hand, not Lazarus laying dead in the tomb. But all together, they tell the story of the sinner. The sinner's a leper. He's a dead man. He's a man possessed of the devil. He is by nature deaf and dumb and blind and crippled, paralyzed and full of the palsy. Can you take your place tonight with this madman? I was talking to Don before the service, and I said, "I'm going to try to preach tonight on the Gadarene demoniac." He said, "I know him." I said, "I do too. I do too. Do you know him? Can you read his story and say, this is my story? This is where the Lord found me." God said the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness is in his heart while he lives. And after that he goes to be with the dead. With mad men. This is where God always finds his elect, living in the tombs of a world dead in trespasses and sin. Living among the dead. Living out his days with men trying to bind him. Trying to bind him by their wills. Trying to force their wills upon him. Trying to bind him with their legal chains and ceremonial fetters. Trying to get him to live like they live. Trying to get him to talk like they talk and dress like they dress and act like they act. Trying to do something on the outside to bind what's on the inside. Listen to him crying as he cuts himself with stones high on the mountain and deep in the tombs. Trying to cure himself by punishing himself. Trying to better himself by inflicting himself. Is that your story? Oh, that's mine. That's mine. And that's where he would have stayed. And that's where he would have continued. except the Lord purposed to save his worthless soul. He said, he's mine. He's mine. And in an act of divine mercy and grace, he sought out this sinner, this hollow shell of a man, this stinking, naked, slobbering wretch of a man. Wore no clothes, his hair grown long and knotted and matted and smelly, and you could smell him before you ever seen him. You could smell this man. Chains hanging from his wrist and fetters. Oh, in an act of divine mercy and grace, the Lord sought out this sinner and he did something for him that he could never have done for himself. He took down the strong man. Do you know anything about that? That strong man. He took him down. He took down his seat of power and influence. He took over the house, the whole house. The whole house and everything in the house, the mind, the heart, the affections. He spoiled his goods, the scripture says. He took for himself that which once belonged to the rulers of the darkness of this world, and this man became an heir of salvation. Is there anybody in this place tonight who knows what I'm talking about? Over in Luke chapter 11, verse 21, our Lord said, when a strong man's arm keepeth his palace, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all the armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Therefore our Lord said, he that's not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. When God does a work in a man, that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I titled the message tonight, Something to Show. Something to Show. And when God saves a sinner, he does a work in him. He does a work from the inside out. The closest thing I can get to it is a little bit of brushing on the outside. A little bit of washing on the outside. But God, when he saves a man, he saves him from the inside out. And when God saved this demoniac, oh, how he wanted to go with the Lord. He didn't want to go back to the tombs, and he didn't want to go back to the mountains, and he didn't want to go back to those who would bind him. He wanted to go with the Lord. And the Lord told him no. No. Rather, he said, return to thine own house. Now listen. And show how great things the Lord hath done unto thee. Something to show. Now, my friend, a man in whom God does a work has something to show. He's got something to show. His life is a testimony of the power and grace of God. He himself is the evidence. He himself is the evidence of this divine intervention. As the old creation stands in evidence of God's eternal power and his Godhead, so this new creation stands in evidence of God's mercy and grace. Return to thine own house, our Lord said, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Now this is not talking about you praying out loud in restaurants. That's not what our Lord was telling him to do. People pray out loud in restaurants. I asked somebody one time why they did that, and they said, well, so folks will know I'm saved. Henry said, they'll know that when they see you tip. This is not talking about learning how to talk religious and act all pious. This is not talking about making sure everybody sees your alms and gifts when you give to the poor and give to the church. What this is talking about is showing what God has done in you. In you. What He did that you couldn't do. What He did that no other man could do. And evidently there were some herdsmen around when the Lord cast out this man's demons, and they ran back to the city, and the whole multitude came out to see what this man Jesus had done to this madman. And when they got there, they saw three things. Three things that men always see when they witness a work of grace in a man's heart. What did they see when they finally got there? Here they came. They came at a full run. He got people from the country and people from the city, and he told them about the madman, and they told him about this man named Jesus that came and cast out these demons. And they went into that herd, those huge herds of swine, and they ran violently down and cast themselves into the lake and died. And they wanted, come and see, come and see, come and see. He'd never seen anything like it. And so here they come. And when they got there, they saw three things. And I'm telling you this, every time God saves a sinner, you see the same three things. The first thing they saw when they came to see this man, they saw this wild man, this demoniac, who couldn't be tamed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's where they found him. You want to show your loved ones what God's done for you? Would you have them to see something of this divine work of grace? Show them that. Sit at His feet. Sit at His feet. Somebody told me a few years back they were thinking about moving somewhere where there's a gospel church, but they didn't want to leave their grandchildren and friends and neighbors, place where they were raised. They wanted to stay there and be a witness for them. They wanted to stay there and tell them something about this work of divine grace. Let me tell you something. The best thing you can show your family is you sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you'll do that when you move somewhere where there's a gospel preacher and he can feed your soul. Where two or more are gathered in my name, he said, there will I be in the midst. That's where I'm going to be. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. What does a man's posture have to do with manifesting the work of God's grace? Well, sitting suggests three things to me. The first thing it suggests to me is rest. When you find this man, here's this man who spent his life running, fighting, resisting, cutting himself, full of activities, going about, doing what those devils dictated that was in his heart and in his mind. That's all he did. He busied himself about doing this and doing that and doing something else. And when they come to see him, that's what they expected him to be doing. But he wasn't doing that. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And those who sit at the feet of Jesus have entered in to his rest. They rest at his feet. Well, I know, heard four or five gospel messages by a man, and he couldn't take any more. Five was his limit. And he stood up during the service and he said, hold on, hold on, hold on. He said, we get it, we get it. Now let's move on. You don't get it. If you got it, you wouldn't want to move on. You be content to sit at the feet of Jesus. Those who get it, that's where they go. That's what they do. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, and beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Oh, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments, that natural reasoning of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him. You can rest in Him. It's all in Him. Christ is all. If you have Christ, you have everything God has for the sinner. Can you picture one of these modern day soul winners running after this madman through the tombs and up over the mountains, trying to get him to turn over a new leaf? You know you're not living the way you ought to live. You know you don't give enough. You don't pray enough. Running behind him everywhere he goes. Trying to get him to walk down an aisle or accept Jesus as his personal Savior. That man or woman in whom God does the work rests in Christ, and he's happy to sit at his feet. And then secondly, sitting suggests a learning posture. It said Martha got mad at Mary. What'd she get mad about? Well, Martha was busy and about the house, cooking the meals, doing all this stuff, trying to get ready. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And when she complained to the Lord about Mary sitting there, you know what the Lord told her? Mary chose the good thing. The good thing. Oh, that's the learning posture, sitting there at His feet. We'll never learn anything from anybody until we learn to be content sitting at His feet. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is the revelation of God. I remember the study Don did on Revelation in his very first message. He said, there's so many people confused when they read the book of Revelation. If they just read the first few verses and stop and think about it, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's our revelation. He's the way. He's the truth. And when God does the work, men always, you always find them sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then thirdly, sitting suggests eating to me. I come home at the end of the day and I'm hungry. I'm ready to eat. You know, the Lord gathered His disciples around at the place He had chosen. And He had them all to sit down. And then He broke the bread. And He said, take and eat. This is My body which was broken for you. When we sit at His feet, we eat. He's our necessary bread. So here's the first thing men find when they go out to see a man in whom God's done the work. They find him sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then secondly, they find him clothed. They find him clothed. When God saves a sinner, He clothes him. Puts His garments on him. He looks upon poor sinners, and all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And our fig leaf aprons can no more hide our nakedness than it could for Adam and Eve. But God comes to the sinner as He did to our first parents, and He clothes us with the covering of the Lamb slain. And He hides our nakedness. He covers us with the spotless righteousness of Christ, and He covers us with a sanctified dress of a royal priesthood. We're clothed who once lived naked in the tombs. Now we're clothed. My friend, God's saints are clothed also with a new man. Paul said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put Him on. Do you worry about your children and grandchildren? Do you want them to know what Christ has done for you? Show them this. Show them this. Let them find you sitting at the feet of Jesus and clothed in that new man. A gracious man, a kind man, a man patient and long-suffering, a loving man, an uncompromising man. Let them see that new man. I tell you, before they're going to hear what you have to say, you're going to have to show them what God's done in you. Let them see that hidden man of the heart, Paul said. And then thirdly, when they got there, they found this man in his right mind. In his right mind. Natural man walks in the vanity of his mind, the scripture said, a mind of darkness. A mind of deceit, a mind of imagination and tradition, a mind hostile to God. He's not in his right mind. At his best state, he's altogether vanity. But when God comes in and takes down the strong man, he gives to the sinner the mind of Christ. Now he's in his right mind. Now he can judge all things, but he can't be understood by anybody. There's only one right mind, and that's the mind of Christ. That's how we live, isn't it? That's how we serve. That's how we reason. We have the mind of Christ. And when they came and saw this madman sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, it says they were afraid. The fear of God fell upon that crowd. They saw the real thing. The real thing. Now you can't show what you don't have. You can't show a work that God hadn't done. It's an impossibility. You're looking at somebody who tried. You can't show men what God hasn't done in you. He must do the work first. But when he does, oh, you got something to show now. My soul. The grace of God. How it conquered the madman. How it's conquered the madman. This man who was once just fly off the handle at anything. He just wouldn't pay his bills. He wouldn't work. He wouldn't do this. He wouldn't do that. You know, I don't do a lot of counseling at home. I don't do a lot of that type of thing from the pulpit. And I told a fellow one time, his wife got mad at me because I wouldn't come over there and counsel him. And I told her, I said, if I can't counsel you with the Lord Jesus Christ crucified on a cross, if I can't counsel you and motivate you with the Son of God dying in the stead of hopeless, helpless sinners, if I can't reach you through Him, what good's it going to do me standing there and do this? I'll do it if you insist, but it ain't going to do no good. I might as well just wave a little wand or something and stand there and point my finger at you. You're going to have to see Him. But I tell you, when you see Him, there was only one man in all of Gadara with a right mind, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you know, when that man got done showing all that the Lord did for him, when the Lord came back, it said everybody came out to see the Lord. And welcomed him. Isn't that something? The work that God does in a man. When he does, we've got something to show. May he be pleased to do such a work in me and you tonight.